Welcome to the Hospitality Mentor Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Turk. Join me as we dive into the personal stories of some of the world's best hospitality professionals. We follow the journey of their ups, downs, and wild turns to find out what it truly takes to make it in the amazing world of hospitality. Welcome to another episode of the Hospitality Mentor Podcast. And today, guests, I'm very excited to have Mark Reichle, the CEO of Select Registry, here with us. Mark, thank you for being here.
Well, it is great to be here and really nice to see you again, Steve.
I know. We were just talking backstage, listeners, that it's been almost a year that Mark and I were over at the Select Registry conference. I feel like I was just there. It was such a great place in San Diego at the Rancho Bernardo Inn. We had a beautiful lunch and talk. It was a great event.
It was great fun, and you were enlightening to our members, so thank you for that.
Well, hopefully I could do it again with you. But tell us, what is Select Registry? Why don't we give a little minute download on what you're doing at Select Registry before we dive into your story?
Absolutely. So Select Registry is a membership association, and there are a few things that are different about us compared to other lodging associations. First of all, is that our properties have to be independent properties. So we only cater to those properties who are independently owned. Generally, we're made up of inns, bed and breakfasts, and boutique hotels. And the other component that is a little different for us is that our organization was started with the quality assurance component in terms of properties meeting a set of standards before they could be admitted. So that's kind of Select Registry in a nutshell. And, you know, we kind of look at our business as promoting our members who really kind of embrace craft lodging. And that's a term that we have coined that kind of suggests authentic accommodations, unique experiences, and then a local connection to the place that you're staying and the people that you're encountering with.
I love it. And listeners, if you're not driving, just pause this, take a look at the Select Registry website, because there are so many cool places that are on there that you all are helping and promoting. Can you give a couple of examples for listeners? Like, what? All right, we hear craft lodging, we hear independent hotels. What kind of vibe is it? I think it's helpful for people to really understand what you're calling your group.
And I think that, you know, it's a great question, because, you know, the sort of the hospitality industry, especially bed and breakfast and inns, have really evolved. And a lot of folks don't think that they have. So it's a much more contemporary aesthetic than what you might think bed and breakfast might be. And then the other piece is that it really focuses on experiences and making sure that you're not only experiencing the place that you're staying, but experiencing the area that you're staying in. So if it's a mountain location, you're hiking. If it's a food-centric location, you're being given a great meal or several great meals.
Yep.
So experience-based focus is really important to making sure that the traveler kind of connects.
I think that's a great example. And for listeners, it may sound familiar, because before we had our break over the summer, we had previous Select Registry craft boutique hotels on the podcast. So you can go back and hear some of their stories and the unique things they're doing, because it really is special what you can do in that setting versus the big box hotels and resorts that, you know, we've had a lot of guests on from as well. So I like seeing the balance across, but I want to talk to you about how you got into this, because you're not a traditional hotelier, right? You didn't start at a front desk, were you, right? Your whole career was very different. How did you first, what were you doing as you were coming up as a professional?
So I have a varied background. So I left college. I had no clue what I wanted to do. I had an idea that of direction, it generally was going to be in the livestock industry, or that is what I thought it would be. So I took about 3 years off and worked on a cattle ranch. And that helped me kind of determine what I wanted to do, whether I was going to pursue an MBA or whether I was going to pursue some sort of master's in animal science and animal nutrition. And I took the MBA route, and I left the cattle ranch and went to graduate school. I grew up in a really small farming community in southeastern California. And when I was in high school, a lot of my friends whose families owned farms were impacted by the United Farm Workers and strikes in our particular area. And so I had always intended to go back to California, hopefully to kind of meld my MBA that focused on human resource management and labor relations with the agriculture industry. But instead, I got an opportunity to work at Ford Motor Company doing the same thing. And I thought, wow, you know, getting experience with major corporation and a big union would really be a great experience. So I left my California route and moved to the Detroit area. And my wife actually did the same thing at Ford Motor Company. And we met at a barbecue. We both loved the company. We had great careers there, but we didn't have a lot of time together. And so we started looking for opportunities to do a business that we could run together. And so both of us made a list and we did it separately. And we had typical things that an HR person would have on there: start a consulting company, do, you know, start some sort of labor negotiations consultation. But interestingly enough, both of us had run a bed and breakfast on our list, and we had no experience in that. We had never even talked about it. But what was funny for us is that we both recognized that we both had that on our list, and we both it started to become our passion. Like, we spent all of our spare time kind of talking about that and researching it. And, you know, we went to classes on how to go about buying one or how to run an inn. So we did a lot of research, and we thought, you know what, if we're this passionate about it in the research phase, we really should pursue it. And we knew that, you know, there were a lot of carrots at Ford, and there would continue to be carrots. And if we didn't lead, then we probably never would. So
I want to pause you there. I have a question about this, but there's a lot of people that sit in your seat at Ford, right? They're thinking about, like, I have this career, I have a great salary, I have stock, I have my 401k, but I have this dream, and I haven't been able to go chase it yet. What was that like? That was you and your wife? Was it like over a glass of wine, you're like, all right, this is the moment, we're setting the date, we're gonna do it? Or was it like back and forth? What was that moment like for you? Because there's so many people that listen to this that ask that kind of question.
Yeah, we agonized and truly agonized. You know, one day we would think we're crazy for doing this. We have kind of everything set. And then the next day we would think, just, we need to kind of move on. And there was one particular instance, we were both working at plants at the time. And there was one particular instance, which is maybe too colorful for a podcast, that sort of put me over the edge. And I went through this experience and I got back to my office and I called my wife and I said, I think we need to buy the inn. And that's sort of what was the final decision. But we agonized back and forth. We recognized that we were in a really fortunate position, and a lot of people thought we were crazy. A lot of our colleagues, though, really were encouraging, and they thought, oh my God, we wish we had the courage to do that too. And we just happened to find a way that made it work. So,
all right. So you found this place. Let's talk about that, the how you made this happen, because it's one thing to have the idea. I'm like, all right, we're going to get this in, and then search the listing. Cause this is pretty early on. Internet was still, it was there, but it wasn't what it is now, or you can like search all the listings and that. So how did you find this place that you were going to do?
So one of the things that was a key sort of criteria for us is that we wanted to be in the middle of the country. So I'm from California. My wife is from New York. And so we both had living parents and wanted to be in the middle of the country. And we had a set of criteria that were kind of deal breakers for us in terms of size of property and the kind of business that it catered to. And so there was a magazine called Country Ants Magazine, and we would get that every month. And we would religiously go back to the section about inns for sale, and we would look at things in the middle of the country. And it just so happened that the place that we ended up buying, in the month that we found it, only was in the magazine that month, because they misplaced it in the prior month in Mississippi instead of Missouri. And so we saw this advertisement, and we contacted the folks, and there was an immediate kinship between us and the two women that we bought the inn from. And that really helped us. You know, it wasn't an easy process, you know, getting the financing together. You know, our intent, to be honest with you, was that we were looking at the time and thought that we would do it 10 years down the road. But we stumbled onto this place, and it was all the things that we were looking for. just financially not at the right time, because we really intended to kind of save some money and do it down the road. But again, we decided to bite the bullet, and everything just kind of fell into place. And I mean, magically fell into the place. We worked a lot to try to get the right financing package. And, you know, we sought assistance from a lot of different folks, both locally and nationally, who we thought could help us make it happen. And they did. And one of the interesting things is that, as I mentioned, we knew nothing about running a bed and breakfast, but right. We had such a good friendship with the folks that we bought our inn from. We built into our sales agreement a transition period. So we left our work 2 months prior to the closing, and we worked for them for 2 months, just wow. Learning business. And then we bought the inn, and then they worked for us for 2 months, just so that the transition was smooth. You know, they wanted to make sure that their guests were comfortable with the transition. They wanted it to be successful. So they, in that 4 month period, taught us more about hospitality than you can imagine, and how to run the business. And, you know, a lot of hospitality is natural instinct. It's about treating people well and making sure that you're doing the right thing by your customer. But there are also some, you know, there are various tricks that you can learn from others that make the transition a little bit easier. And that was a game changer for us.
That's amazing. So you had 4 months together. Was there a lot of, that's not how we do it here, or we've never done it like that, when you were trying to put ideas in, or you were just kind of learning and listening?
There wasn't, because part of the agreement was that we would just listen. That they understood that we would have ideas. The intent of this period was to learn the business. And after that 4 month period, we were free to implement whatever we wanted. And that worked out well for us, because it would have been, there would have been some animosity in the process had we tried to change things going on. And from our perspective, it was a successful business. You know, it was successful for a reason, and we wanted to learn why.
That's great. So we were there 20 years. So there's 20 years of history here, right, that you had. But I like starting at the beginning. So once they left, what was it like when you finally took over for you and that dream started really becoming reality that you put into place back when you were at Ford?
Yeah. Initially, it was really frightening. Not so much that they had left, but, you know, in the first year, you haven't really experienced all the craziness that you can experience. And part of experiencing those is having a response to it that you can live with and handling it with some aplomb. And so, you know, it was a lot of divide and conquer. You know, there are certain things that my wife is really good at and certain things that I'm good at. And we tried to make sure that those skills were useful to the business. And, you know, it was a struggle. I mean, there were folks who were interested in coming only because of the personalities of the folks before us. And we had to win those over. And, you know, it was agonizing. You know, we went through a lot of crazy things, you know, a lot of economic downturn. Our business relied on business travel. We were an urban property in kind of the heart of Kansas City. And so every time, you know, we had an economic downturn, business travel would be cut off and we'd have to figure out how we were going to pivot from that. So it was initially, it was just kind of drinking from a fire hose.
Well, you've gone through a lot there, and I want to kind of touch on a couple of things, two different things. First, you said mention your wife. You're working with your wife and working with your significant other. You're there all day. You go home. What tips do you have for somebody? Because a lot of these inns and craft properties have that similar story. What advice would you give to somebody that may be thinking of doing that?
Yeah, I think that kind of division of responsibilities is really critical. I think knowing what battle to pick is, and pursuing only the ones that are critical is other good advice. I mean, there were things that my wife wanted to do that I was hesitant to initiate, and vice versa. And, you know, the ones that were really important were the things that moved forward, and the others that we didn't feel comfortable about one or the other would be left on the table for another time. I think it's a lot about listening and making sure that you're keeping balance, that you're able to kind of leave the workplace. And it's hard to do when you're working all day and largely into the evening, and then you are going downstairs, haven't left the facility at all. It's hard not to be completely ingrained in your business, but it's important to kind of try to set it aside and allow time for yourself. Thoroughly enjoyed, and I think my wife would say the same thing. I thoroughly enjoyed working with her. I respected her. I knew that she had the best interest of our business and my best interest in mind, and I appreciated that. And I think that if you can kind of appreciate that in your partner, it goes a long way.
I think that's great advice for anyone listening in any kind of partnership. And so you guys really did a great job, because you're in Kansas City, you're in the middle of the country. You got a lot of people to write about you, to visit you. Like, you had big, articles written about you. You had Bobby Flay coming. How did you get all this going from a property in the middle of the country?
Yeah, we had a couple of little gimmicks and a PR person that really worked at promoting them well. So we did this, Kansas City is all about barbecue. And so we did a breakfast barbecue every Saturday when the weather was nice. We would barbecue breakfast. And it just so happened that Bobby Flay had just started this TV show, and he saw an article about our breakfast barbecue and thought, well, that's kind of a unique concept. And so he was coming to Kansas City, and he wanted to include us in that story. And it was really a fascinating process. They came in February. We just had like 10 inches of snow to get all of this bee footage. And it was freezing. It was like 3 degrees outside, and they wanted it to look like summer, And so they're all, well, you can't wear a jacket. It's supposed to be summer. Well, how are we going to do this? Every time we would hold the food, I would have to hold my breath because it was so cold that, you could see my breath in the cold air kind of blowing on the food. So we had to kind of adjust, but it ended up being great exposure for our business. It was, leading up to it, the preparation was loaded with anxiety, but it was really a ton of fun. And we couldn't have asked for that kind of exposure as a small business. It was just all about kind of getting our name out there, and somebody stumbled on it.
And I'm interested to hear, because sometimes you get great PR, it doesn't really translate to anything. Did you see that translate into actual business for you?
It wasn't immediate. Like, what we immediately got was the phone started ringing off the hook. People wanted to come for breakfast. And, we had to tell them, well, our breakfast is, for our overnight guests, but we'd love for you to come stay with us. The nature of lodging is that it's not something like you can go to a restaurant and have that meal or experience. You have to kind of plan a little bit. So we definitely impacted our business, but it was sort of a long-term impact. For years, we would have people say, I saw you on the Food Network, and that's why we came. It just took us a while to get here. So it definitely had an impact.
So cool. So you're doing this, you're successful, you have your hotel going, you're in. How do you start getting involved with Select Registry? Because you're doing that while you have the inn. So how does that become part of your world?
Yeah, so we inherited a Select Registry membership. So the folks that we bought the inn from were members, and we continued that membership. I would say probably for the first 10 years of owning the inn, we were not necessarily active members of the association. I mean, we were trying to understand our business and initially, and as time went on, we were trying to build it and grow it. But there came a point in time where I wanted to kind of become more involved with the organization. So I pursued an opportunity with the board of directors. I got involved in their governance and really started to learn a lot more about the organization and how it was helpful to our business. And we started to embrace kind of the things that were offered to us a little bit more than maybe we had initially. And then, after 20 years, we thought, it's probably going to take us a long time to sell this place. We should maybe start thinking about that now. Interest rates were a little kooky at the time, and we weren't sure where things were going to be. And so we put the inn on the market thinking that it would be a process. But in kind of the course of that event, I also started to panic. I thought, well, I still want to work and I'm going to have to find a job. So I started looking for opportunities. And it just so happened that Select Registry had a couple of opportunities in the organization. And so I applied for one of them and happened to be selected for it. So that was really fortunate. The unfortunate piece is that we hadn't sold the inn yet. And so I was working this job full-time and, you know, trying to help my wife on weekends and in the evenings. And she really assumed responsibility for the inn. We ended up selling it more quickly than we thought. It sold in about a year. And so I've been with Select Registry ever since. Now, and my initial role was the director of operations, mostly financially related things. So I managed the financial components of the organization. And when COVID hit, the CEO at the time left. He went and pursued his dream job and went and worked for another organization. And so I threw my hat in the ring to be CEO, and it kind of made sense. I had a lot of experience with governance of the organization. I had served as president of the board for a number of years. And during that period of time, we happened to go through a couple of different CEOs. And so I served as the interim CEO on a couple of occasions while we were running the inn to kind of help the organization through. So that experience was really helpful to me. It was also helpful to me that I had been involved with Select Registry for, you know, 20 years, and that I could come to the job from an innkeeper's experience and kind of shape the organization from that perspective.
So once you officially got that CEO title, I know you had done it a couple of times in the interim. Once you got it, do you feel any different? Were there things that you're like, all right, I've been thinking about this, I want to make these changes that I've been talking about for a while? Did that happen, or did it continue on the same?
Yeah, it did. You know, one of the things that had always troubled me, and it was really one of the reasons why I got involved with the organization when I did, is kind of the transition from sort of a print approach to marketing to digital. And, you know, our organization was started with a guidebook. We continued that guidebook for years. It evolved to a magazine. And one of the things that didn't make sense about the business, even though we had a lot of members and a lot of travelers who really appreciated the print piece, is that we were spending all of our money, all of our marketing dollars on a magazine and very little on digital advertising. And that made absolutely no sense to me. So that was really the direction I started my leadership with, is trying to get the organization moved into a more current marketing phase. You know, now that's changing for us again. I mean, how AI is impacting travel search and how we think it will eventually, where it will eventually take travel search is not only fascinating, but challenging to try to introduce. And so, you know, that's kind of the next challenge, is helping our members transition to a different sort of digital age, but not lose sight of the fact that, you know, a connection is important. And so technology has to be balanced with sort of human connection. And how do you go about that?
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit now. Now that we really talk about craft lodging, we touched that at the beginning. There's so many different places to stay when you're traveling, right? We talked, there's big hotels, there's resorts, there's, you know, vacation rentals, there's inns, there's all different types of properties. How are you getting more people to explore the craft lodging properties? Because I really think that they need to be shown. And a lot of them don't have the background to market as well as you did to have Bobby Flay there and do these things that get them attention. How do they start getting more people to visit?
Yeah, I think that focusing on experience is really important, and making sure that either you have built in experiences in the sort of the lodging space that you have, or have experience opportunities in the area that you can lead your guests to. We always focused on our area and tried to understand kind of what the traveler's interest was, and then let that be the direction that we would drive them to. So if they were really interested in museums, we could create an itinerary around art museums or historical museums. If they were into food, we could create it around food. We happen to be close to a really interesting shopping area, and so they were coming to do a little shopping, especially at Christmas time. We can kind of direct them to the independent places that we really loved that were unique to our area. And so I think focusing on experience and highlighting the fact that they're unique experiences is really important. And those are the kinds of stories that we try to bring out for our members as we're promoting them to the traveling public.
Yeah. So for the traveling public, why should they be going to these properties versus some of the, you know, big name brands and going on Airbnb? Why should they be checking out the members of Select Registry?
Yeah, for a couple of reasons. First, I think that, you know, it's kind of what travel used to be. You know, it used to be going to an inn and having a pint and a meal and then staying overnight. I think that you experience the area in a different way. You know, all of our properties sort of embrace or highlight Americana. And I think that it is a great way to experience culture, a great way to see an area that you might not be familiar with. And the beauty of sort of smaller independent properties is that there's somebody there to help you make that happen. You know, if you're to go to a big box hotel, it's not always often that somebody is really there to help you make a connection with the community and to make a connection with sort of unique experiences. And I think our ownership group really does a great job of highlighting that. The other thing is that in order to be, as I mentioned at the beginning of our talk, in order to be a part of our organization, you have to meet a certain set of standards. So you can go to a Select Registry property and feel very comfortable that the facility is going to be clean and that the property itself is going to be well-maintained, that there is going to be a component of hospitality to your visit, and at least the sort of minimum standard of what you might expect is going to be met. And it kind of takes out the sort of second guessing whether I should do this or not, because, you know, my experience was that in the 70s, you know, doesn't match what I'm looking for. And I think it's important to understand that, you know, properties have evolved.
It's true. And I love the properties you have on the website. Again, listeners, check out the Select Registry website. You'll see so many different types of properties. It's not all looking the same. Everyone has its own unique character. Everyone has different owners with their own special things that they do. But for you, what are you most excited about, Mark? I'm not asking for your five-year plan, but in the next 12 months, what's something that you're working on that you're most excited about?
We are really excited about how we might be able to increase or improve our customers or the travelers' journey within our site and on our site, and how AI might be able to help with that. We think that's a foregone conclusion, but it's going to be impactful. Yep. And so we are working now on what we can do to be prepared. And, you know, that opens up a lot of interesting opportunities and a lot of endless sleepless nights, I'm going to tell you.
I know you're working and they got the right leader in charge there with you, Mark. I know how much you care about the industry and how much you care about all the members. I saw it firsthand at the conference last year, how much everyone was involved. And it really, I left there feeling very excited. And I was so happy to be able to tell the stories of some people, because you see, like you said, it's a genuine hospitality. It's face to face. It's the owner really thinking about their guests and putting on a good show versus, you know, some of the colder transactional things that you have now at other properties. So I love seeing that.
It's nice of you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Mark, we had a great talk here. We could talk to you for an hour. I always love having good talks with you here. But is there anything you want to leave the listeners with about Select Registry before we sign off?
Yeah, there are great places across the country. They're all unique and they all will serve you well.
Well, listeners, listen, I learned a lot from Mark, and I'm sure that you did too. So if you did learn something, make sure to send this podcast episode to one of your friends, because I'm sure they'll find value in it too. And again, make sure to check out my friend Mark and his association, Select Registry. They have some amazing things going on. Mark, thank you for being here.
All right. Thanks a lot, Steve. I appreciate it.
This podcast is brought to you by Biscayne Coffee. Biscayne Coffee was founded with a giving spirit and a big idea to enjoy delicious coffee roasted in Miami while helping save Biscayne Bay and the animals that live there. As a former food and beverage director, I can assure you these are some of the best quality beans on the planet. 10% of every coffee sold is donated to nonprofits to help preserve Biscayne Bay for all to enjoy. Visit BiscayneCoffee.com today and use promo code MENTOR at checkout to save 10% on your first order. Drink good coffee and create a good outcome.